Hi, I'm Andrew Connell, and in this screencast, we're going to look at a deep dive into the Office 365 APIs for SharePoint Site Services. Before we begin, let's look at the developer vision for the Office 365 development. It boils down to both users and data. What do I mean by users? Users want to be able to work with their devices and interact with all of their information using custom applications or some of the applications that have been provided by Microsoft, such as the Office clients as Word, Excel, Outlook, and PowerPoint, as well as custom applications that developers build. They want to work with them in a familiar environment with familiar user interfaces. For developers, we want to be able to build custom applications using a multitude of different platforms, from working in a mobile experience to working off a server-side product, something that's working on the desktop, or even just a standard web page. We want to be able to get to all of our data and provide these really good experiences for our users. We're first going to do an overview on what the API looks like and how we can take advantage of it with these for site services in SharePoint. Then we're going to do a file operations with the SharePoint client, list operations with REST, and Azure AD and CSOM discussion as well. Let's start with an overview. The purpose of this module is to show you how you can access the complete SharePoint REST API. The SharePoint client has only access to files, but we can get an access token via the discovery service for use with REST calls. Just to show the various permissions that are available, you can see, As we've shown in other modules, you can add use the Connected Service Wizard in Visual Studio to create an app in Azure AD and add it to your project. From within this wizard, that when you create the app, you can optionally select the different permissions that you want to grant your app access to. In this case here, I'm showing you what the site permissions look like. So if I selected sites, you can see I can pick read items in all site collections, edit or delete items in all site collections, create or delete items in lists in site collections, or I have full control over the site collections. Let's look at the file operations that we can do with the SharePoint client class. The SharePoint client class can be used to get an access token for a specific resource. You're going to create the SharePoint client instance, and then you can use the files property to abstract the files API out. The discovery service is going to be used for the SharePoint resource, which we can use to access different document libraries. You can read the file metadata using the SharePoint client class. You can use the files collection to get all the information from an individual folder inside of SharePoint. You can also use it to get data from your OneDrive for Business as well. If you look at the current page object that you get back, you can use the order by method to sort by a specific name, and then you can also implement paging as well by saying skip and take. It's worth noting though that the way you would want to do the paging is by calling execute async after you do the skip and take. So what you could say is client.files and then pass in a query that would then filter by the fields that you were looking for, the items you were looking for, and then call skip and take to skip to a specific page of data and then call execute async. That way, the paging is going to be implemented on the Office 365 servers instead of pulling down all the data to your machine and then paging it yourself. To upload a new file, you're going to use the add item async method. What you're going to do is provide a file name and then add the file stream to that object or to the request. So here I'm creating a new file object. This is coming from the Office 365 APIs that you get with a .NET client when you create the connected service on your project. Then you're going to create a new file by going to the files collection and calling add item async, passing in the file object, and then you're going to get a reference to that file, and you're going to upload the file asynchronously by passing in the stream of the data that is included in the file. To delete a file, you're going to first get a reference to the file, and then you're going to call delete async on that item, and that will delete the item asynchronously. Let's take a look at some of the file operations with the SharePoint client. And then I'll go ahead and click OK. I'm then going to go to my files and go to his permission, and I'm going to give him access to see and read all my files. So I'll say OK. Now, this is not for the current user, because when a user goes to log in to use this app, they're going to have to go ahead and grant this app permissions to do that. So I go ahead and click OK to save my changes. So it's going to go ahead, and what it's going to do is it's going to add in a couple references to some assemblies that are being added through a NuGet package. So if I come over here and look at the references, what we'll see now is we've just been given access to the office.365.discovery namespace, as well as the SharePoint namespace. Another thing that happened, if I come over to my web config, is that you'll see that the client ID and password have been set, as well as the tenant ID has now been set as well. Now I should be able to click on my project and build it, make sure that everything builds just fine. And now we can go ahead and try this out. So I'll go ahead and click F5, or click the start button, to go ahead and get this application to start running. So it's going to go ahead and open up in the browser. And I'll go ahead and log in. So I'll click on sign in. And this is going to take me over to Azure AD to go authenticate. So I'm going to log in with a sample user account. Because I've never used this app as a sample user account, it's going to prompt me for the common consent to say, do I allow this app to read and write my files, read my files, and sign in for myself? And I'll say yes. So I'll go ahead and click accept. And once I do that, it'll save the fact that I've granted the app consent to access my information as the user Andrew Connell at acdev.co. It's then going to redirect me over to my application. All right, so now we're logged in our application, and if I click on files, this should show me all the files in my OneDrive for Business. And here we go, we see that we have a folder with a specific ID called receipts. And so if I click on receipts, it should go into my folder for receipts and show me the contents of all the files inside of that folder. So let's take a look at the code for this. Now this is all coming down to this controller called the files controller. So let's look and see what this does. The files controller has an index page, or an index action, so that when I hit the home page for the files endpoint, I'm going to be calling this method. This method is going to create an instance of the file repository. We'll look at that in just a minute. I'm also setting up some paging information here to make sure that we don't get too many files back or too many items back in our response. Then I'm going to call the repository, get my files, and pass in these two values here for the page index and the page size. I'm then going to sort everything out based on the name property and then return those results back to the caller. There's another demo here that I have about uploading a file where I can actually pick a file. So from here, I've actually would have picked the file. It's going to pull the file in, and it's going to use the repository to upload the file, passing in the input stream and the file name that I want to create. Notice that this one is also, this action is also requiring me to be authenticated, just as the index one was also requiring me to be authenticated. So let's look at this file repository class. If I come over here to my models and I open up file repository, let's see what this has in it. As we saw in the slides, I have a function here called ensure client created. And what that's essentially doing is it's having me log in and coming all the way down here to where it's going to prompt for my files capability. And so that's how I'm getting my access token and how I'm authenticating and creating an instance of this SharePoint client. Now, if I come up here and I look at the get my files, what he's doing is creating an instance of the SharePoint client for me. So I have an instance of my SharePoint client after I've called the Ensure client created. I'm then going to call the client, look at the collection of files, and say, go get all the files from the client. Here, I'm adding paging after the fact. Now, it would be better if I did the paging before I actually called the execute async, because then I wouldn't pull back all the data and then page it on my local web server. It'd be better if I had Office only return to me the files that I was interested in. If I scroll down a little bit farther, you can see the function for uploading a file. I'm passing in a file stream and I'm passing in the name of the file. I'm then going to create a new file object, which is coming from the Office 365 namespace. I'm going to call client.files, add an item asynchronously, and I pass in the new file. And then I'm going to upload the file asynchronously, passing in the file that was just created. And then I'm going to convert and call the upload async function to upload a stream of the data. To delete a file, I'm first going to go get a file and then just call delete async. And so here you've seen how to work with files using the SharePoint client from the .NET SDK. Now let's look at some list operations with the REST API. You can read SharePoint list items using the SharePoint REST API once you get an access token. You'll get the access token using the Azure AD authentication library, the ADAL library. I'll show you this in the code in just a little bit. Here what we're doing is we're pointing to a specific resource, and then we're creating a request URI, and this is going to be the endpoint that we're going to query. So we're going to a SharePoint site /API/web/list to get to the list collection. We'll find a specific list by calling get by title and passing in the context list, and then we'll put the /items on the end. Then we'll use the $select operator from OData to grab just specific fields back. It's worth noting too that you're going to have to specify the authorization header value, which should be bearer, space, and then an access token. The access token you'll obtain using the ADAL library from Azure, the Azure Active Directory authentication library. To add a new item, the way you'll do this is you'll point to the endpoint for all the items in a SharePoint list, and then you're going to issue an HTTP post to add the item. You're going to create the item by creating it using, for example, either XML or JSON. So here you can see we're using XML. So I've created a new contact object, and then I'm converting it to an XML element. I'm then going to take that string and post it using the request.content property. Notice here that I have to set the content type header equal to application/atom+XML. You can also use JSON if you like. The syntax just looks a little bit different. To update an item, you're simply going to create a reference to the exact same item, make a change to the values, and you're going to submit it the exact same way you submitted it before for when you created an item. The difference here is that you're going to be pointing to a specific endpoint for that specific item. So you see there in the request URI that we're building at the top, I'm using the get item by string ID to get a reference to a specific item. Another thing that's interesting here is if you look at the request headers at the bottom, you can see we're specifying an if match, and we're also specifying the x-http- method. We're issuing a post, and what this patch method is going to do is it's going to say, only update the fields that I'm sending. If you don't include that second to last line there that says patch, it will actually overwrite any other values that you did not submit as null values on the list item, and that's probably not what you were intending. The if match property there is looking for a specific version number. In the case here that we see on the slide, it says it doesn't matter what the version number is, always update the item. But that might not be what I want to do. Instead, what I would want to do is I'd want to say submit the item, but only update the item in the SharePoint list if the item in the list is version 1. That way you can make sure that you're not overriding somebody else's work. If the if match fails and you're actually trying to update version 2, but you're sending version 1 across, SharePoint will respond with an error that's of type 419 that says that the if match header didn't work. And so this is the common experience you'd get in SharePoint if you leave a page open for too long and you try and submit an item to get updated. It'll say that you need to refresh the page. Deleting a list item is pretty simple. Just like an update, you're going to point to the specific endpoint of that item. You have to use the authorization header. The if match, you specify a version number, or commonly you would just put a star when you want to delete an item because you don't really care what the version number is. And then you're also going to want to specify that the method that you use is an HTTP delete, and that's being done on the HTTP request message creation. Let's take a look at the list operations with REST in a demo. In this demo, I want to show you how to work with list operations using the REST API and with an Azure Active Directory application. The first thing I need to do is I need to create an Azure AD app. So what I'll do is I'll say I want to add a new item, but I'm going to create a connected service. First thing we'll do is I'll register a new application. So I'm already logged in to my Azure AD tenant using my ID. I'm going to modify the properties of this guy so he only runs on HTTPS. I'm going to set the permission to allow me to at least log in with this application. And then I'm also going to go to my contacts and just let it do anything it wants with contacts. I'll go ahead and let the project go ahead and add all the necessary NuGet packages. We're really not going to use any of them because I'm only interested in working with the REST API. So we're just going to authenticate and get a token. Now I'm going to come over here to the web config and make sure we have everything specified, which we're missing a few things. I'm missing the Azure AD tenant, so we need to know what that is. I'll go ahead and plug that in. And then I'm also going to go ahead and add in the tenant ID for my Office 365 tenant. Now let's look at Azure AD and CSOM. Now most of the common workload permissions are supported in Azure AD permissions. Some things are not there yet. We may have some things from, like, say, the client object model and the native SharePoint CSOM or REST API that are only supported on that side and not from Azure AD applications. Microsoft is working hard to have what they call scope convergence to make sure that we can do everything from an Azure AD app that we can do from within a SharePoint app. So additional workloads are constantly being added to Azure AD. We call these workloads scopes. For example, in 2015, we got the ability to do manage metadata and search. Now SharePoint offers two different APIs. It offers the CSOM API and it also offers REST. Both APIs accept an OAuth access token from Azure AD. But as I said earlier, some scopes are only supported in the client object model. For example, managed metadata is only exposed in the CSOM, not in the REST API. You can use Azure AD access tokens in CSOM calls. And so here what you see we're doing is we're using the token helper method or object and calling the method get a client context, or that's a CSOM client context, and I can pass in an access token for use. I would get that access token using the Azure AD. So let's take a look at working with managed metadata using Azure AD in the CSOM API. Now in this last demo, I want to show you how you can work with some of the scopes that have been added to Azure AD that are in the SharePoint client object model and not in the REST API just yet. So for example, how do we work with managed metadata? Managed metadata does not exist in REST, it only exists in CSOM. And we need to find a way of how we can use an Azure AD application to authenticate and then use that access token to call into this. So what I've done is I have an SP term repository. So you've seen this, how I've the same style that I've created my other classes with. We have this get access token method. Now this works the exact same way that the other ones all work. And so I'm just going to go ahead and ignore this for right now, but it works the exact same way my other projects have worked in this module and the other demos. Here what I'm doing is I need to create a client context. Now, to create a client context, I had to get the access token. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, look at the token helper, and I'm going to say get client context with an access token. And I need to specify the site where I want to get this access token, or the site I want to use for this access token. So here you can see I've defined that. Here you can see I've defined that at the top, where I've specified the Office 365 tenant ID. So it's, for me, it's acon.sharepoint.com. And then I'm calling the get access token to go get the access token. Now I'm left with a CSOM client context. And I can use that CSOM client context, say right down here to get the terms, to work with the managed metadata taxonomy objects. So here I'm getting a taxonomy session, and I'm loading a session and a store and a group. I'm going to get the root of the term set, and then I'm going to get all the child terms for that found term. But the key here, the hardest part of this, is really just this one line right here. Getting an access token and then using the token helper to create a CSOM client context using that access token. Once you've done that, you can then use the CSOM the same way you would have done in SharePoint, but using it from an Azure AD application. There's some related documentation that you can take a look at. There's a Microsoft Virtual Academy deep dive on working with SharePoint lists and the CSOM APIs at the link provided here. There's also a deep dive in the Microsoft Virtual Academy for advanced taxonomy scenarios with Office 365 that you can see here on the slide. We have a few related code samples as well that you should check out. One is a deep dive on working with SharePoint lists and the CSOM APIs, and another one is advanced taxonomy scenarios in Office 365. These are both hands-on labs that you can walk through, and they match up to the MVA videos that I just referenced a minute ago. So in this module, we did an overview of the SharePoint Sites API. We looked at how we can do file operations with the SharePoint client and list operations with the REST API. And then we talked a little bit about using Azure AD with CSOM. Microsoft offers multiple ways to get in touch with them and also to stay up to date on what's going on. One of the things is the Developer Program Watch. What the Developer Program is all about is allowing you to sign up and get email newsletters, free developer subscription to Office 365, which will give you a 1 year free to a Office 365 tenant, free training, free tools, and free webinars that they'll publish on a periodic basis. Using this developer program, you'll be able to stay in touch and up to date with all the latest and greatest offers and news and updates coming out of Office 365 and Office development. You can sign up for it at dev.office.com/dev program. The Office team also provides multiple ways for you to sign up and to stay in touch with what's going on. From the Office 365 network and Yammer, to staying in touch on Twitter using the Office Dev handle, you can also ask questions on Stack Overflow using the tag ms-office. We have multiple podcasts as well. If you go to dev.office.com to sign up for different podcasts, such as the Office 365 Developer Podcasts. In Channel 9, there's a developer show as well, the Office 365 Developer Show that comes out on a weekly basis. You can also find out about a bunch of different tiny, little quick snack demos of quick demos. You can find those at YouTube if you go to aka.ms/o365devsnackdemos. And then finally, do you have feedback for the team? Do you have ideas for new features? Do you have changes that you'd like to see implemented? Submit them on User Voice by going to officespdev.uservoice.com, where you can submit your ideas, and then you can also vote on other people's ideas and provide comments to the team. The engineering team looks at these issues on a periodic basis and a regular periodic basis and triages them to look to improve them and add things to the product going forward. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes of your time to watch this screencast.